In the holy name of Jesus, amen. As we enter this Advent season, it's appropriate for us to gaze upon the beauty of God. Advent, being a time of preparation, is a season when we remember three things. One, who we are as sinners. Two, who God is in his holiness. And since he's holy, he can't be in relationship with sinners without destroying us due to our sins. And then three, what the Father has done to reconcile us back to himself, sending his Son, Jesus, to die, to take away our sins, and sending his Holy Spirit to make us holy. The God we worship, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not three gods, but one God. He's unified in essence, but with three different persons. Each person of the Trinity tells us something different about who God is and how he acts in our lives. It's important to witness to the world who this God is and what he has done and what he will do in the future. Thus, we call this series Confessing God. Because not only do we confess who God is to each other here in the unity of faith here at church, but we also confess this God to a world who's confused about him and desperately needs him. The first person of the Trinity we will discuss tonight is the Father. And what a comforting name God gives us to call him. At a time in society when fathers are abandoning their families, divorce rates skyrocket, and cultural masculinity skews selfishly macho, perhaps God being a father doesn't sound that appealing to some. Some might think, what does it mean that God is a father? Does that mean he can just leave me when and how he chooses? Does that mean he throws his hands up in defeat when things don't go his way? Does that mean he throws temper tantrums and reacts in anger to his children? Does that mean he bosses those he has an authority over him to serve him? Unfortunately, mankind doesn't reflect the nature of the Heavenly Father very well. As a result, fallen man is turned off to this idea of God being a father. Though it's due to the example of sinful men, not due to the character of God himself. As Luther teaches the first article of the Apostles' Creed in the Catechism, having God as a father is a beautiful thing. His fatherhood to us is comforting, something that should instruct how fathers are fathers today. So let's set the record straight. This is what you can tell your neighbor about who God the Father is and what he does. He's a good father. He's what all fathers should strive to be. He's the one in whom the whole world should find refuge and strength in every present help and trouble, because he is strong and durable, and he will never leave his beloved children. In our creed, we confess the scope of the Father's work as a creator, the sustainer of life, and the defender against all danger. Many of us are familiar with God the Father as creator of the world. In Genesis, he created a perfect world without sin. He created Adam and Eve to live in it, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God created them to co-rule with God, aligned with his statutes and laws written into the code of creation. Quite simply, God is Father because he's the origin and source of all created things. It doesn't exist without him. But the Father didn't create the world with its sole existence to serve and satisfy a selfish God. He created the world because he's loving. He created a world outside of himself, giving it free will to share his love with that world and prayerfully receive love in return. Because as a father, he isn't selfish. He didn't create a world so that the world could build him nice things like slaves do, or stroke his ego like a celebrity might enjoy. He doesn't wield his omnipotence to destroy people without cause. He doesn't need anything that we offer. He simply created us to share his love with us. When confessing God to the world, it's important to note that when non-Christians say the word God, they don't always mean the Father. They may confess a monotheistic version of God, like that of Islam or Judaism. They may confess, like Masonic lodges do, in a supreme being God, who's nameless, thus kind of pointless. They may even use the word God and talk about love and mercy and forgiveness. However, they do so apart from God's Son, Jesus. And so these confessions do not share the same confession of God as Christians. We believe God is Father because that implies God has a Son. And that's imperative for us to confess, lest we remain guilty of our sins before the Heavenly Father. But it's also important to confess God as Father to the world, lest they be confused about God's character. Perhaps a sinful world has set in their hearts and minds that God is mean and vengeful and not understanding. That he doesn't always operate under the rules of justice and peace and love. But these perceptions of God are just that. Perceptions. They misunderstand God's punishment to a sinful world as God's true character and nature. But the problem isn't with God and who he is. The problem is with us and who we are. Those actions are foreign to his nature, but they are necessary. They are a necessary part of his nature as a holy God. He doesn't discipline merely to beat down his children, but to draw his creation to honor and respect him, and also to receive his loving care as a father and not reject it. Ultimately, they misunderstand who God truly is and who they truly are. God is Father. And just as a father disciplines his children, he never does it from a place of hate or vengeance. He does it from a place of love. Because oftentimes children don't understand the wrong that they do. That's part of how God as Father loves. By not allowing his children to make stupid mistakes. They guard and protect and provide for their children, even when that goes against the child's wishes and desires. If a father truly loved his children, he'd never allow his children to play hopscotch in the middle of I-40, no matter how much they wanted to do it. he would lay down the law and prohibit such a dangerous game. Now, this is what the Father has given us in the Ten Commandments. This is what he's given us through the words of his prophets. This is what he's given us through the teachings of his Son. He gives his laws because there's physical dangers associated with breaking these commands. And ultimately, there's damage done to the community around you, which isolates you from the ones you need to thrive in life. But of course, the most enduring damage is spiritual, because the truth of the matter is that one day, the Father will judge his creation. Our Heavenly Father's patience with continual disobedience and unfaithfulness will run out on the last day. And for those who abide in his Son, who are faithful and obedient unto the Father, even unto death, the Father may discipline these children, but his last day judgmental wrath will never be set against them. In Christ, we are invited to approach the Father in prayer, asking him for things, just as a dear child would ask their father. That's why Jesus himself taught us to address God as our Father. Because as a Father who guards and provides all things needful in this body and life for his children, we can trust that he will give these things to us according to our needs. Finally, how do we, as God's children, respond to him as a creator, father, and sustainer of life? We recognize that God is served and obeyed not by leaving his creation behind, but rather by living faithfully in his creation. He's created three places for a faithful life, for every person to live: in the congregation, in the civic community, and in the household. Christians are not drawn out of the mundane, but called instead to live in creation according to God's command to love and serve the neighbor. Declared righteous by the word of Christ, we now live righteously in the world, daily dying to sin and living in the newness of life as we give of ourselves to the benefit and well-being of those people God has placed in our lives. In that way, we emulate the self-giving love of the Father. Now, as Creator, Father, and Sustainer of all earthly life, our hymn beautifully confesses and summarizes the work of God. We all believe in one true God who created earth and heaven, the Father, who to us in love has the right of children given. He, in soul and body, feeds us. All we need his hand provides us. Through all snares and perils leads us, watching that no harm betides us. He cares for us by day and night. All things are governed by his might. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.